Welcome to the Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwett. Type 1, 27 and a half years.
My name is Dobie Maxwell, riding sidecar. Type 2, I lost track of all count. All I know is I haven't had my last Oreo since Nixon was in the White House.
You have been fairly, I don't know how great, but you've been fairly good with your diet, at least around me.
No, I have been pretty good. I drink hot fudge out of the jug right before I go to bed.
Everybody has a...
Yeah, it's hard. It's a whole thing. That's why we have the show here, to bring diabetes into the real world, because people are, as you say, diabetic, pre-diabetic, post-diabetic, type 3. There's stuff's coming out of nowhere. Jarvik hearts with fake... What did we talk about last week? We had the cure, pretty much.
Well, they keep talking about a cure, artificial this, artificial... But you caught me without papers. So all we have to do is direct people to the website.
Gotcha.
TheDiabeticShow.com, or you can just ask us a question. It would be Mark, with a K, at TheDiabeticShow.com.
And Dobie with a D. D-O-B-I-E.
Yes, a lot of people put the Y in there. Forget the Y. It's D-O-B-I-E.
Dobie Gillis, Debbie. I have got mail to Debbie, this fictitious person, who I have maybe a conjoined twin.
At
TheDiabeticShow.com. Correct.
Yeah, and if you mess up our names, it still goes into this huge digital
vat. You can
find
us. And our special guest has got a place on this site, too, now.
That's right, Donna Swanson from U.
She really knows something. So why are we talking to us? She really knows what she's talking about. She's on the site, too. And if you want to address any of us, we would love to hear from any of you.
Yeah, she's very close to her own email address. Almost close. Very close. Anyway, and also we're on the Facebook. We're on the Google Plus. It's starting to spread like digital wildfire.
Next thing you know, MySpace.
Let's slow down them horses there. But anyway, and we got a couple of questions this week, which I think is interesting, which is nice.
That means we have a couple of listeners.
It's working, and more than us, which is usually, weird. Anyway, the point of it is we'll make this a dealer's choice. A listener's choice. We have some really great questions this week off the website or the Facebook page. And we'll use that. We'll talk.
That's what we do.
Okay. And now, as far as you were talking about metformin, there was one coming up here. We will have a metformin question. So this will be exciting for you. Type 2.
Well, it's all exciting for me. I've had to change my whole life around. Do you know how much I love soda or pop, depending on if you're west of the Mississippi or wherever you live? That was just a thing that you start off as a kid. You know, they advertise, oh, Dr. Pepper, you got to love it. Coke, it's the real thing. That's the thing that got me the most, is having to stop.
Was that your biggest give up?
Yes. Yeah, see, I like the bubbles.
The week I was diagnosed, because here I'm thinking I have a flu or something. I'm being type 1. It kind of hits you hard. The best part is you drop weight. I mean, yeah, Oprah should be so lucky. You know what I mean? You lose a lot of weight, but apparently, if you continue being as bad as I was, you'll continue to lose weight. And you want to slow that.
So you're just ahead.
Just enough.
Where do you put your insulin? Can't find a vein if you're just ahead.
For me, Reese's peanut butter cups.
That was your weakness?
Huge give up. And I still haven't given them up. But we're on a... relationship, it's not as tight as we used to be in the 80s. Oh, those 80s. But I stop around. And the best part, if there's such a thing, about being hypoglycemic, which we really do have to talk about with our guests sometime soon, because that's...
versus hyper.
Yes. When you're diagnosed with diabetes, I'm imagining you would be hyper, because hyper, large amounts of sugar, too much sugar, hyper. Hypo, not good. It really throws things up. We'll talk to Don about that before too long. But otherwise, the Reese's for me. And, of course, I noticed with you, after you were diagnosed, you did a 180-degree with your exercise. I mean, you were doing the walk in the mall.
Exactly. I picked a place in the United States, continental United States, and I would walk there. I would just, throw a dart at the map of the United States. Provo, Utah. That's where I'm walking.
It kind of Forrest Gump-like without the leg braces.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing, because you got to admit that in this day and age, our lifestyle is horrible. Our diet is terrible. Our exercise pattern, the heaviest thing I lifted was a microphone as a stand-up comedian. That's not good exercise right there.
And you're standing in front of whole bunches of smoking patrons.
When you can pull a hamstring opening a box of pizza, it's not good.
Ooh, almost happened to me once.
But I think it's everybody's that way.
That's true.
And if you're not pre-diabetic, I mean, think about it. The Happy Meal at McDonald's, and I don't mean to pick on McDonald's, but the small fries, the small cheeseburger, and the small Coke. That's what everybody used to eat. Now it's like that's your kid, your two-year-old eats that.
That's true. And also, we are open again for sponsors. So, I know McDonald's sells salad, too.
No, they do. And you know what? I've been going, and Donna talked about this. We'll get around here. I talked about that you could order things off the menu. It's hard not to want a Big Mac. I love Big Macs. I do. Secret sauce, I want to inject in my vein. Mm. Two all-beef patties. I want to, but now I've been getting used to the salads and not even looking at the hamburgers, and it's a conscious choice. It's a difficult choice at first. I was at Troy, and I are
Producer Troy.
Producer Troy who McDonald's. Keeps the show together. I saw him at McDonald's. Maybe he's looking at the family business. I don't know what he was doing there. But he was there, too. And it's like I had a salad. And he was a witness to that, using their internet to look up diabetic facts that we're passing along to the public.
And actually giving them a free commercial. So let's stop that. All right. Now, the emails. Very encouraging. People are listening. People are asking questions.
You know, we had a Nigerian prince. I think he's diabetic. I'm not exactly sure. He wants to give us $15 million if we just – I gave him your bank account. I hope that's okay.
Well, the Social Security number is all. You make sure he's got that.
I got you.
Okay. Don't want to screw that one up. You know what? I tell you what. Let's do a short break right now, Troy. We'll come back. We'll bring Donna Swanson on, and we'll go over your emails. Very good emails. So that's thediabeticshow.com. I'm not sure how to get to the Facebook page. I've been to Facebook. You type in The Diabetic Show somehow.
All I know is we got a like.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Somebody gave us a like. I don't know who it is. We appreciate it.
It's true. Thanks, Mom. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is The Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwitt, learned colleague just to your left.
Dobie Maxwell, complete idiot, learning as we go on the air. That's a pleasure to be with you guys.
Aren't we all?
Aren't we all what?
Exactly. Okay, now the emails. We've told you about that. Mark with a K at thediabeticshow.com. Dobie at thediabeticshow.com. D-O-B-I-E. At thediabeticshow.com. We've got some. Dobie, this is...
It's almost like we're real broadcasters.
Well, let's not go that far. Okay. And actually, let's bring to the table right now and a hearty hello, Donna Swanson from United Hospital System.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolute favorite. What do you do with UHS?
I am a registered nurse, certified diabetic educator, and coordinator of the Diabetes Self-Management Education Program at United's Hospital System.
So a person newly diagnosed or maybe not, but they still need to see somebody, you're the person to ask questions to.
Myself, and we have four other certified diabetic educators there. One is a registered dietitian. The other two are registered nurses like myself.
Before we get into these questions, is there one in particular question that you always get or mostly get?
One is... One of my favorites is, what do I have to give up? Excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. Sorry,
there you go.
That.
What we were just talking about, give-ups.
The foods that people have to give up. And on the American Diabetes Education website, they just came out with a series of new little YouTube clips.
Oh, that's okay. Turn your head and cough. That's what we do. At least that's something else. Go right ahead.
One of the clips that they recently added and I got by email was just, it was... I don't want to laugh at it, but it was almost comical because it illustrates a physician going in and talking to a patient, and he breaks the news to him that he has prediabetes. And we talked in past shows about prediabetes and how important it is to catch it at that moment.
At that juncture, sure.
And I've seen this and had this happen several times. So the physician's explaining, yes, you have prediabetes, and he's explaining the disease a little bit. And the patient's like, Doc, but I love bacon. And the doc says, I know what you mean, buddy. I love bacon, too. And he says, so we're good here? And the doc says, yeah, we're good here, but you still have prediabetes.
See?
And, you know, it just sort of illustrates, life's about choices. And we can't change the way metabolism works. So what we need to do is work with it instead of against it.
So bacon is bad for diabetes?
Yeah, all that high saturated fat. Bacon doesn't even have enough protein to be counted as a protein. It's counted as a fat.
See, that throws me way off. Because then what are my scallops going to be wrapped in?
Kale.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yum.
That's
whole wheat kale.
Yeah, whole wheat. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lordy. But the point being, if you're looking for the, here we go again, touting the virtues of bacon, it does have zero carbs, doesn't it?
Well, it has no carbs, but it's all fat, and it's very high in calories.
So it's not the good fat?
No, unfortunately.
So I've been making bacon protein shakes, not well, like Rocky Balboa.
Probably want to stick with the kale. But, you know, honestly, on a good note, I have had so many really good kale recipes. I never thought I would love kale. And
it's
I've
huge
had so
all of a sudden.
Many, yeah,
you've never
is.
Heard about kale.
I've never had it. I just say it because it's a funny
if
word.
If you have it cooked the right way, boy, it is absolutely delicious.
It tastes
delicious.
Just like bacon.
No, I won't go that far. Okay. But it is pretty darn tasty if you get it cooked right.
Okay. Now, what's a good? Is it? What does it have? Is there an ingredient in it that's good for us? Kale.
In kale. Yeah. Well, it's a green
fiber,
vegetable,
green
so
vegetable.
It's going to be
dark
high
and leafy.
In dark and leafy. It's got all the high in antioxidants and all of that. So I'm not a nutritionist, so I don't know all the nutritional facts on kale, but I know it's very healthy for you.
Okay.
Excellent. Let's get to these questions. We have so many of them, and thanks again to the listeners or the digital visitors. This one, good one here. From JP Springfield.
Gotcha.
Okay. New to type 2 diabetes. Here, I'll lay this over in front of you, Donna, so you can follow along with me. One question I am desperate to ask. After 2 weeks of taking the meds metformin and dieting, which I mean probably means one with the dieting, he started to feel worse. Depressed, severe headaches, shaky, very tired and weak. I'm guessing this just might be getting used to my new life. How long do I get through this?
Well, that is a great question. And, you know, as I was reading this and as you're reading it, I'm a few things are jumping out at me. And one is depression. A lot of times when people are newly diagnosed with a chronic illness, it's very normal to feel depressed. Depression itself, if it's diagnosable, is not normal and needs to be treated. So that's what I would say first, is to get that taken care of. If he feels like it is related to this new diagnosis and he's not, there is screening tools. He needs to talk to his doctor and get screened for depression, if that is a concern of his first and foremost, because depression is very serious. Secondly, severe headaches, shaky, very tired, weak. Shakiness can be a sign of hypoglycemia. The rest can be a sign of hyperglycemia. So I wouldn't attribute it to...
just throwing it both ways.
Yeah, I wouldn't attribute... High. And the other important thing to note, when somebody, every person with diabetes is an individual, and not everybody presents classically. Like when we look at symptoms of hypo and hyper, it's not a one-size-fits-all. But there are some symptoms that are way more common. So, for example...
Well, let me do the hyper ones. I'm really good at these.
Yeah.
All right. If your blood sugar is abnormally high, unquenchable thirst, you could have a mouthful of water and desire a mouthful of water. so you just keep drinking. Exactly. And then after that... you've got the other side of the drinking of too much water, and that would be a lot of urination that follows. Yep. And so I wake up anywhere between 2 and 23 times an evening to take care of that. Continue.
Yep. Fatigue. Hunger can actually be a sign of hyperglycemia as well.
Really?
Which only exacerbates it and makes the whole situation worse. So when people have high blood sugars, the first thing I always tell them is go for foods that are very low in carbohydrate that aren't going to convert into sugar. And take your medication. We need to work on getting that blood sugar down to abate those symptoms. So the other symptoms, the weakness, tired, shaky, you know, I've known people to get shaky with high and low blood sugar. More common with hypo than hyper. So a low blood sugar, the number one thing they should do, depression, get that screened by a physician. The rest of the symptoms, test your blood sugar and see where you are first.
Early and often.
Yep. And then once you establish, is my blood sugar high? A high blood sugar is typically over 140. The body normally tries to maintain a blood sugar anywhere between 70 and 110 at all times. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll see some spikes. You know, if I drank, even myself not being diabetic, if I drank a 12-ounce regular soda, I might spike a little bit above 110, but it should come down pretty quickly.
My memory tells me that's
not
like
much more
30 or 40 grams of sugar,
43,
right?
Yep. Yeah, well, 8 ounces, I believe, is 43.
It
might be a
12-ounce
can. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I have to think about this for a second.
You bring up a good point. I've seen it. You got to watch serving sizes. Serving sizes on your food.
Yep.
Ridiculous. I mean, you don't drink 3/4 of a can of soda. You don't drink a cup of that. Yes. You drink the full 12 ounces and then some.
Right.
So, yeah.
And now the sizes come so much bigger. You think about the when somebody drinks a supersized regular meal or a regular soda at, like, say, McDonald's or fast food, and that could be 32 ounces of regular soda.
Yeah, so there's a whole day's worth of sugar
exactly,
in a cup.
Exactly.
Well, here, I tell you what. Let's take the break right here. So, in other words, get to your doctor. Test your blood.
Yep.
It's one thing out of all these questions I've read so far. Nobody, I'm not going to use a word, but it's not like you're all by yourself on an island.
Right.
These things that you are experiencing, almost everyone is going to experience at one point, another, some degree to another.
Yes. Well, and the metformin, too, if I could add real quickly.
Oh, please, before we go
to that. The metformin, any patient that is on metformin, one of the things that I always tell them to be careful of, if they're especially just starting metformin, is start it slowly. The doc will usually start you on 500 milligrams for 3 days to a week, usually about a week, and then they'll increase it to 2 pills. So metformin standardly comes in 500 milligrams usually, and they'll start with 1 pill, then the next week go to 1 pill before breakfast, 1 before dinner, and then they titrate that up slowly by adding 1 pill a week until the patient is on a target dose of about 2,000 milligrams a day. Now, a lot of people think that's a really high dose, but that's a standard a desired dose of
for
metformin.
For type 2 diabetic?
For type 2, right. Yeah. This is not indicated for type 1. And so if somebody were to go to, and that would end up being 2 pills in the morning, 2 at dinner, if they go from no metformin, so I haven't taken anything, to 4 pills right away, more than likely they're going to get some GI side effects, which can include diarrhea, upset stomach.
That would be gastrointestinal.
Really lousy. Yes.
To the non-medical folks.
And another important side effect to know of this drug, not a side effect, but something to be aware of on metformin, is if you ever need to go for testing and have IV contrast, that drug should be held. So if they took it that day, that's fine, but then it needs to be held. So patients can be their own best advocate. If they know they're on metformin, they need to let their doctor know and make sure they stop it.
And actually what I've learned as a diabetic, I'm responsible for 90% of my world, and if I don't take care of that 90%, the doctor is not really going to help me much with this 10 if I'm not doing what they tell me to do. So.
Absolutely.
Alrighty, let's hit the buttons. We'll take the break. We'll come right back with your your questions from the Diabetic Show. And welcome back. This is the Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwick, learned colleague straight across over there.
Dobie Maxwell running sidecar. I forgot our distinguished guest, Donna Swanson, has been so good for these last few weeks. I brought you a gift. That's from Mark and myself. I want you to open it on the air.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. It's the wrapping's not that good, but it's radio, so you don't have to know.
Oh, is that so kind? It's a coffee cup.
With your name on it.
Thank you. I appreciate
You're
that.
You're very welcome. I was bothered in my travels. I said, we have a low budget here, but we are sincere.
Now, this doesn't mean that you're locked for the email yet. The email address,
okay. You can be the trustee
steps and
holder
steps.
Of the email.
Steps.
Traditional spelling. Well, you're the only one that knows anything, so you should be the only one that has one.
We're just here for the IT.
Now, this is really interesting stuff. Now, I know we talked about soda a little bit before that. Should we pretty much just give it up?
Yes, I would say it's not worth keeping in a diet at all.
Okay.
So now you're talking real soda.
So Pepsi or Coke. So diet and regular doesn't have, pick your poison?
Well, diet has been associated recently with weight gain with long-term use. So, and it's the artificial sweetener in diet soda is associated with all kinds of cancer and whatnot. So it's not really a healthy item to
But the can is so pretty.
But it doesn't elevate blood sugar. So the American Diabetes Association does not go against diet soda. Mm-hmm. But from a nursing standpoint and overall health, it's probably water's way better for somebody, or milk or something, a little bit more nutritional value.
They don't make milk with carbonation, though. That's probably a good idea.
But And milk, you know, you want to go as lean as possible with that. But the regular soda, the way I look at it is, if I have an 8-ounce can of regular Pepsi or whatever the case may be, soda, any type of soda, mm-hmm. it's going to have 43 grams of carb. I get 45 grams of carb for dinner. Do I want to drink my dinner or do I want to eat?
These are the choices.
So you basically have a pound of kale and a Pepsi. That's your 45. That's seriously, that would almost be it.
And I'm still going to get a blood sugar spike, you know, if I'm diabetic, which I'm not. My daughter is, but I'm not. So the choices, you know, for somebody, myself, it's still going to cause, it's going to be taxing on my pancreas, even though, so even for people that aren't diabetic, it's not healthy. It taxes their pancreas a little more than it should be.
And you got all the organs in there. Liver, we were talking about liver spikes. I don't want to hit, we only have a couple minutes in this last segment. We'll hit this one quick, okay? Person was asking if they can fast being a type 2 diabetic. And the biggest problem that they were seeing was they could be doing nothing, yet their blood sugar spikes. I mean, first thing in the morning, they're fasting, yet the blood sugar is doubling, in some cases tripling. Where's this sugar coming from?
Yes, that's a great question. Was that Emily's?
I'm sorry.
That
isn't that. We got to tell people. Yeah, this from Emily in Kenosha, a local Kenosha.
Yes. Thank you, Emily, for that question. That is a great question. We get that very frequently. So the effect that can be occurring. So there's a couple things. My thought is going to. One is if somebody eats a real late night meal, and it's way more than they should have, that can cause morning elevation.
You know, really? It can like stay dormant and then hit?
Well, if you don't have enough insulin to, I don't remember what the case was on hers, what she was taking.
It was very
treatment,
short. But, very little information.
Okay, so.
Just type 2.
Sometimes people will wake up with elevated fasting because they had way too much food late at night. Okay. And so that's one scenario. But if food is not a factor, you can still get a elevation. And what happens is, our body wants to be in the cells, want to be fed every 4 to 5 hours, basically. Mm. And if they're not fed, they can signal the liver and muscle cells store glucose. So this is what part of her question was asking about the function of the liver. And the liver, one of the jobs of the liver, amongst many others, is to store glucose in the form of glycogen. So when somebody, if you think about it, when somebody without diabetes goes all day. I mean, some religions, they go on these long fasts. And these people never drop over from hypoglycemia. And the reason that that happens is because our body keeps reserves of glycogen. And when blood sugar starts to drop below 70, it starts releasing it so that it maintains that balance of between 70 and 110. Now, in this case, that could be happening if she had not eaten for a very long period of time. And we already know so not eating for too long a time, and that's one of the reasons that we encourage patients with type 1 and type 2 diabetes, but more so with type 2, to eat on schedule. But it's good for everybody to eat on schedule. Like, eat 6 small meals a day is ideal. But it's for that reason, because we don't want an inappropriate release of glycogen, because once it gets in the bloodstream, it's sugar. And that will cause an elevation in blood sugar.
Okay, one last point before we move off to another email here. I was told, and things change over 30 years, I was told at one time, if my sugars are high, the liver tends to kick in more sugar.
Yes.
Oh, so that's still true.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait, if I'm already hypoglycemic.
You're low.
No, I'm sorry.
You're high.
I should be reading my own notes. I'm hyperglycemic.
Okay.
But then my liver still kicks in more sugar. And the doctor kind of explained it. They're kind of... The body's trying to slap the pancreas awake. Right?
Yeah, I see what you're going to. So if glucose cannot get into the cells, in your case being type 1, it would be not enough insulin, because insulin acts like a key to allow sugar to enter the cells so it can be
used
as energy, yes. So in type 2, the reason that it doesn't get in is because there's resistance, and it takes twice as much insulin to get that same receptor open, 2-3 times sometimes, an overabundance. The other problem in type 2 is that the liver's already giving an inappropriate amount. It's giving a way bigger amount of glucose than it should. Now, in type 1, if there's not enough insulin, that can lead to more signaling and more signaling, and it's going to continue to release more.
I get it.
So, yeah, it's
so it's still, it's a real thing.
Yeah, and on top of which, our bodies are not designed to, there's a couple ways to get those cells receptive to open for to allow sugar in. One is we can blast them with insulin, which we do often, but You can also get it through activity, and activity, aerobic activity, makes those cells real sensitive to your own body's insulin, or exogenous. In your case, you're getting it from an injection. That's exogenous insulin. So it doesn't matter whether the insulin is coming from your own pancreas or an injection. There's only a couple ways to get those cells receptive and get sugar in, and that's either insulin or activity. So that's why we push activity so much, because if somebody is active, and that's the way all of our cells are designed to open, is through not one or the other, but both.
Got it.
And if somebody's inactive, and that's why we see these huge increases in diabetes and resistance, is because people are way more sedentary. They aren't as active as they used to be, and now they're developing resistance to the cells.
All right. We have our last email. How much time we got there? Okay. Really? It's way too little. Okay. We'll get through this quickly. Okay. Carl from Chesterton. Carl with a K.
Yes.
He type 2 for 6 years. He's finding stress affects his sugars greatly. And also, mentioning his stress, he had we're not going to mention the restaurant, but he was at a local restaurant, ordered a steak, cheese, onions, and pepper sandwich, came with 2 slices of bread, 140 grams of carbs, and he capitalized all that part with exclamation points. He is shocked by this. He didn't expect bread to carry that much carb. But the one thing you got to remember, you're at the mercy of restaurants when you're out.
Yes.
And restaurants and sugar, synonymous, at least in my my estimates. What do you do? I ask beforehand, because a lot of these menus, they have the information, but what if they don't?
Well, there's a lot of ways to obtain carbohydrate values at restaurants. One of the things that I find very helpful, everybody's got a smartphone nowadays.
True.
If you have to, you can Google it. I mean, you can pull up the carb content on just about anything through Google nowadays. But there's also a lot of phone apps out there that are really helpful. I can think of a half a dozen off the top of my head. One is Go Meals, and that's through Novo Nordisk, one of the big drug companies. And the other is Nutrition Facts. There's My Fitness Pal. I mean, there's lots of them out there.
Let's get them on the website. Give them to us, and we'll pop them up there.
Absolutely. That would be great. And then in answer to that.
The stress.
Stress, our body's normal reaction to stress, our bodies naturally produce cortisol. And these stress hormones, cortisol, epinephrine, adrenaline, blood sugar, the jobs of those hormones is to increase blood sugar. It's part of the fight or flight response. And when people have even low-grade stress that's consistent throughout their life, blood sugar goes up pretty tremendously, and it will sustain it because of that stress. So when we get rid of that stress, usually blood sugar starts to equalize a little bit better.
Beautiful. Sorry, we're going to have to cut you short. That's We've run out of time again.
Stressful. Now we get stressed. Now our blood sugar's going up.
The fastest half hour. Okay. Donna Swanson, UHS, thanks again for stopping by. The emails, Dolby with an IE, Mark with a K, at thediabeticshow.com.
Ask your questions. Page. Keep them coming in. Yes.
Appreciate it all the time. Much again, thanks. What's his name?
Troy.
Yeah, the guy owns a restaurant. That's true. Thanks for pushing the buttons, Troy. And we'll be talking to you the next time on The Diabetic Show. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to